Well, hi, everybody. I'm Jason Cusick. I'm the lead pastor here at Journey of Faith. And if you're new with us today, I want to say a special welcome to you. I also want to say a special welcome to everyone at our Torrance campus. We're connected right now with our Torrance campus. If you're new visiting us today there, thanks so much for joining us. We're in week three of our series called Portraits. And what we're doing is we're looking at what does it look like, what's a portrait of what it looks like to be involved in a relationship with God, and specifically, what's it like to be involved at this church, at Journey of Faith. And one of the words that we use often, and a lot of other people use to refer to us, is the word inviting, which begs this question, what are we inviting people into? When we're inviting people into a relationship with God, or we're inviting people to come to church, what is it that they will experience? What is it that we should be experiencing? And churches have a variety of different ways of helping people grow in relationship with God and each other. At our church, we have some specific language that we use that we call our primary environments. These are ways that we believe if you fully engage yourself in these environments, you are going to grow meaningfully in your faith. And let me just give you a quick overview of what our primary environments are. Inviting and attending, we talked about these our last couple of weeks. The idea is that we are people of invitation. We're always like, come and see, come check it out. Come see what it's like to have a relationship with God. And then attending, our weekly time of coming together as a larger group and singing together and praying together as a bigger group. These are like key components of what it means to say yes to a relationship with God and with each other. The next primary environments are serving, grouping, we turn that into a verb, and giving. I'm going to be talking about these today. And then the other one we talk about, and we'll be talking about this next week, and that is having personal time with God, that individual one-on-one daily connection with God that not only fuels our own faith, but makes us available to be able to be people of invitation to other people. These three are what I'm going to be talking about today. Well, it looked like I just made it happen when I pushed there. That's what I'm going to be talking about today. And I think that serving and grouping and giving are not only powerful ways for us to experience friendship and compassion, but these three primary environments they serve another really important function in the spiritual life. Let me tell you what that is real quick by way of an illustration for me. So when I was growing up, when our family would do yard work weekly, my job was pulling the weeds. Now, I didn't get to operate the mower. I didn't get to operate the edger. I was the smallest one in the family. So it's like, Jason, you get down on your knees and we'll give you a little stick and you can pull the stuff. And I remember I hated it. I hated it so much. I got dirty. My hands got filthy. They would get scratched as I'm down there pulling out crabgrass and dandelions and stuff like that. And I swore once I got out of that house, I am never doing yard work again. I'm never going to pull another weed until I got a yard. And then I was like, I don't want these weeds here. And recently I got this big infestation of dandelions in my yard. And I was like, I got to go pull weeds now. So I got down on the ground and I started pulling them out of all of these like traumatic flashbacks of me having to pull weeds when I was a kid. And I was like, this is terrible. And then a friend of mine said, you should get a grandpa weeder. And I was like, what's a grandpa weeder? Let me show you a picture of it. So this is like, it's just a long stick, and you put it in the ground, you put your foot on it, you pull it, and it pulls the weed right out, and you just shake it out. I was like, this is an amazing gift from God. This is amazing, and I bought a grandpa weeder, and I was like, this will change my life forever. I'm never going to find a better tool for being able to get rid of these terrible things in my yard. until 2 weeks ago. 2 weeks ago, I was invited to go to a ranch that a friend of mine owns. And he said, come stay for a few days. And I went with some other people here at the church. And he was like, oh, we got a lot of stuff to do here. We can go hiking. We can do some axe throwing. There's all kinds of things. And he said, while you're here, I mean, I do have some debris and some stuff in my on my ranch that I need to kind of get rid of. So I have a flamethrower. And I said, I missed everything else you said once you said flamethrower. So here's a picture of me, here's a little video of me on the ranch. I've watched this a lot. You can turn it off. It's pretty awesome. It's gonna be the highlight of the year for me. The spiritual life is kind of like gardening. It's something that we want to care for our spiritual lives in a way where there's life and vibrancy and where fruitfulness results so that other people can be blessed by beauty and by the outflow of it. But there are times in our spiritual lives where there are weeds. There are things like selfishness and pride and ignorance that need to be uprooted. And I can tell you at times in my spiritual life, a grandpa weeder did just fine with uprooting those things, and other times I needed a flamethrower. What does it take to nurture a spiritual life in us with others in a way that leads to beauty and fruitfulness in the world? Here's the main idea I want to share with you today. It's this: we should utilize every opportunity to grow together, especially because in this culture, a lot of times we think about the spiritual life in individualistic terms. But Jesus always intended the spiritual life to be a shared spirituality that we do with others. And that's what we're going to talk about today. As a way to kind of unpack some of that, we're going to look at some verses from a very beautiful book of the Bible called the Psalms. The Psalms is in the middle of a Bible, if you have a hardbound Bible or a physical Bible. It's in the middle. And the Psalms is a collection of song lyrics and poetry and emotional prayers that are all about what it means to cultivate a relationship with God and with other people. So I want to share with you a few beautiful insights we can get from the Psalms related to those three primary environments that I talked about earlier. And then we're going to close our time with one more song that we'll sing together, and we'll be celebrating communion together, which is kind of a shared symbolic meal. We should take advantage of every opportunity we have to grow together. How? Here's the first way. Express your gratitude to God through serving. When I first came to Jesus, when I first welcomed Jesus into my heart as a young man, I remember being very overwhelmed with gratitude. I looked at my life and I said, I have so many things to be thankful for. I looked at the world around me. I said, this is an amazing, beautiful place. I even had one of those moments, and maybe you've experienced this, that the closer you move to God, the more you realize, wait, maybe my relationship with God will help me reframe some of those past negative experiences in my life. Maybe I can see things through Jesus's eyes in a way I wasn't capable of before. And I was like, what do I do with this gratitude? Around that same time, somebody showed me this verse from the book of Psalms. What can I offer the Lord for all he has done for me? The church that I was in when I became a follower of Jesus was a small church in South Central LA. And I remember saying, what can I do? God, how can I help you right here in this church that I'm in? And I couldn't sing gospel music, and I didn't feel comfortable leading kids Sunday school classes. But then this older gentleman said, why don't you come outside and work the parking lot with me? His name was Charles Bickham, called him Brother Bickham. He was actually a leader in the church. I didn't realize that a leader of the church would be outside helping park cars. We didn't have phones back then where I could just take a selfie. So I was looking for a picture of Brother Bickham. The only one I could find was his picture from his eulogy, from his memorial. And this is him. And the years would indicate that I met him. I was about 19 or 20 years old. He was about 65 years old. And every week we were in that parking lot helping people park cars. And in the area of LA we were in, we were actually keeping our eyes on the car. And we had these big gates, and we would open the gates and we would close the gates, and we were kind of outside. And I was so thankful for what God was doing in my life. I was like, how can I help? I was right there in that parking lot with Brother Bickham. And as a new follower of Jesus, I didn't want to be anywhere else. Look at this verse I found in the Psalms that really speaks to that. A single day in your courts is better than 1,000 anywhere else. I would rather be a gatekeeper in the house of my God than live the good life in the homes of the wicked. I'd rather be where God is. I'd rather be with God's people and growing in faith in powerful ways than be anywhere else. Serving kind of does that to us. We can take that verse down. I have a vision for what I want this church to be. You know, we talk a lot about growing in patience and kindness and selflessness and love and truthfulness. We talk a lot about growing in those areas of our individual faith. Where's the lab? Where do we try it out? I have a vision where if people want to grow in their faith, we say, start serving. Start serving with other people. Use that time of helping other people to help you advance in selflessness, in love, in resilience. What would it look like? Maybe it's help them with the kids and the babies. Maybe it's serving coffee. Maybe it's running on our tech team. Maybe it's playing in the band. Maybe it's working in the parking lot. Not only does it help us practice living out our faith, it gives us chances to grow with other people. And I actually think through that process, we can discover new areas of our life. My daughter is now at school studying tech and production, because someone said, hey, would you like to serve in the back of the room helping with tech and production? She found kind of a calling in life and a gifting that she didn't know was there until she started serving and saying, where could you use my help? Let me give you a portrait of some other people that are serving. Here's a picture of a team that meets Friday mornings. They've been doing it for years. They've gone by different names. And this is a team that they meet together, they pray, they read a little devotional, and then they work for about 3 hours to assemble all the things that our kids' ministry needs on Sundays. So we have a craft coming up, we have some kind of family night coming up, we have some kind of thing going on where there's things to assemble and things to get ready, packets to give out. Sometimes our local outreach packets, they'll do it. For about 3 hours, they're just working Friday mornings to assemble things that they just show up. People show up and they go, oh, what a great thing. We didn't hire out to do that. We have people here serving, saying, I'll give my time and energy to that. Are you involved in serving in some way? And if you attend weekly, I think it's great. One of the things, this is kind of our biggest time during the week, I usually tell people, choose to attend one service and then serve at the other, or serve and then attend. That way you're receiving and giving all in that one day. Now, I know Sundays can be challenging. We also have stuff during the week like these ladies. But serving is one of those opportunities we have to grow together. Let me go back to Brother Bickham. Brother Bickham and I in the parking lot. One of the things that one of the ways that I grew is I got to hear the life experiences of a man who had known Jesus about 6 decades. It was amazing. Here's another psalm that kind of speaks to that. It says, let each generation tell its children of your mighty acts. Let them proclaim your power. To be in an environment where we have an opportunity to share what we've experienced with God and we have the opportunity to receive what other people have experienced from God. Now, we get that while we're serving. That's a great advantage to that. We get it in our larger services, but probably the place it happens most is in those smaller groups. And that's another opportunity we have to grow together, and it's this. Grow together in groups. Now, when I say groups, I mean everything from very specialized groups like care groups dealing with depression or anxiety or parenting or stuff in your family. We have groups designed to be able to come together short term to work on those things. But we also have a lot of life, what we call life groups. These are smaller groups where you'll maybe discuss the message from the week or get a chance to pray together and talk together about important things. And it's an opportunity to meet in a smaller environment and not just to build friendships and community, but also have some accountability for our growth. The most important groups I've been part of is when I'm in a group and I'm talking to people and interacting with people, and then the subject of the previous week's message or the message the week before comes up, and we always have action steps. We always say, okay, here's something to do this week. How many of you have somebody that says, so did you do it? Groups are an opportunity to say, are we actually applying it? See, the Christian faith is only as powerful as our application of it in our lives. Here's the other function that a group has that I think is so important. When we get together in a smaller group where we're engaging face to face with each other, ideally we're in an environment with people that have different temperaments, different cultural background, different past experiences. We live in a culture now that is becoming increasingly more polarized. So what's happening is, yeah, I'll meet together with a group of people who are just like me, who believe everything that I believe, who think exactly the way I think, who have the same personality type. And then when big problems come up in the world, we don't know how to talk to people because we're not interacting with people that are different than us in some ways. Someone came up to me this was like a month ago, and it was right when some big thing was happening in the world and some kind of cultural thing was happening. And they were like, I just don't know how to talk to people who believe that. I just don't know how to relate to somebody who's thinking that way. Do you? I said, yeah, I interact with those people all week at church. The difference is we have our faith in common, but on those secondary and tertiary issues, there's a lot of variety. So groups enable us to practice those important life skills of knowing when to prioritize and what to prioritize as central, and when to have a spirit of curiosity and dialogue. And I'll tell you, this was so important 2,000 years ago. We're here today because 2,000 years ago, the first followers of Jesus found a way to gather together and grow together, rich and poor, slave and free, female and male, old and young, people who were very invested in the Roman government and people who were strongly against what the Roman government was doing. You know what they did? They met together. They talked about Jesus' teachings. They talked about how to apply Jesus' teachings. They ate together. They loved each other. They sacrificed for each other. And they suffered together. If anything, I think churches should be the model for how we can engage, for how the culture around us can learn to. How do I learn how to wisely and kindly and thoughtfully engage with people who believe different than I do? So you should go to church. Wouldn't that be revolutionary if we were the ones that knew how to do it rather than us kind of in our cage stage faith where it's like we're so rabid that we need to be locked up? What would it be like if we were the ones that were the most generous and the most curious? Here's a portrait of somebody that does this well. This is Denise. She leads a small group with young adults, and then she also leads a small group for high school girls. She does a great job with that. And her kind of skill and wisdom and grace allows for the flourishing of different ideas while having it centralized, focused in the mission of Jesus. Serving, grouping, and one more. Giving. Give financially to God as an act of worship. This is an opportunity for us to grow together. I say it's an act of worship because sometimes we use that word worship in churches. We say, now it's time to worship. And what we mean is, now it's time to sing songs together. Worship, that word worship basically means when you acknowledge who God is and what God is doing in the world, then you give your best to God. So when we recognize what God is doing in the world, we say, I'm gonna give my voice in song. When we're studying the Bible, I realize how good God is and what God is gonna do in the world, I'm gonna give my attention and mindful focus to reading the Bible. When I realize how good God is and what God wants to do in the world, I'm going to give my money to God. Ooh, that's a tough one. But Jesus taught that there's a direct relationship between what we value and our money. Here's how Jesus put it. Wherever your treasure is, the desires of your heart will also be. Think about the things that you value most. It's probably what you give your money to. I value Legos. I give my money to that. Some of you value pickleball. You give money and time to that. Some of you love watching streaming television, so you pay for an additional subscription or you start bundling stuff because you love it. How valuable is the mission of God in the world to save lives? Do you give to it? Here's a beautiful verse from the Psalms. It says, give to the Lord the glory he deserves. Bring your offering and come into his courts. This word courts refers to, when it was written, it referred to the Jewish temple. So the Jewish temple was kind of the central point for God's activity. So people would bring their offerings so they could fund what God was doing in the temple, and then the temple did God's work all around. So today, it's not a centralized point. It's not like, give to this one place, and then Christianity thrives. How God's designed it is you have churches located all other places. So the idea is the church becomes this central hub where you give to the church and then ministry flows out into the community and into the world. And let me tell you, this is what I love about our church. First of all, we're a very generous church here. We're here in this building. We're here in the Torrance building. Not because we sold a product and made money in order to be here. No, we all just give. We all contribute to it. And not only are we able to gather here on the weekends, not only can we have the lights and the air conditioning on, not only do we offer groups, not just for ourselves, but for the community, But we do outreaches in the community. We help with global hunger. We have global partners around the world that when we give money together, we're helping to fund help with refugees, ecological restoration, starting churches, working for international justice with victims and survivors, training leaders to start Christian movements where Christian movements are not happening. And that's because we're all giving to it because we believe in it, because we love it. Because ideally, out of all of the things in our lives, the mission of God should be the number one thing. Unfortunately, we live in a culture where everything competes. What's your number one thing? Is it your season tickets? Or is it the mission of God in the world? Because that's the one thing that will outlast all the other things, the mission of God. So let me give you just a way to kind of track your own growth. We call it the giving ladder. In one book in the New Testament, it says, you are growing in all these areas, in faith and love and patience and self-control. I encourage you to grow in the gift of giving. So some of you, if you've never given to a church ever, I want to encourage you to try that. There's something powerful about that, and I'll tell you, for me, it was like releasing the grip on my own money, and it was me saying, God, you have blessed me. I'm going to bless you back, and I want it to hit somebody else. First-time giver. Maybe you've never given, you can give. Some of you have given on occasions, but it's not intentional. Maybe that's the next step for you. I'm gonna give every week, or I'm gonna give every 2 weeks. Anytime I get paid, I'm gonna give a portion of that back, and that becomes a regular spiritual practice, like reading the Bible, like attending church, like praying, like serving. For others of you, it's the next step. This is a practice that started in the Old Testament and has become kind of a tradition in Christianity. It's called tithing. The idea is that God provides for you so that you have 100% of your income, and then you give back to God 10% of it for the work of God through the local church and the mission in the community. When I started tithing, it changed my life. It gave me a different perspective on how to manage my money. And also, I found myself more invested in the life of the church and in the spiritual mission of God. Because if you're putting money into something, you want to make sure it's going to where it needs to go. You're like, I'm bought in. And then for some of you, you're at this place where you're like, yeah, I'm doing that, but I'm sensing I want to do more. Either a one-time thing or to make it a regular practice. My wife and I are kind of pushing on that. We're always trying. I'm trying to do like another 1% every year. I want to get to a point where the majority of my stuff is going to God's mission and I can learn to live on the rest. What would it look like for you to grow in the gift of giving? So here's an action step I have for you. Choose a next step of involvement and faith building in those three primary environments. Let me go back to them here and just summarizing what we talked about. We should utilize every opportunity to grow together. Express your gratitude through serving. Are you serving? Have you stepped up to serving? If you're serving now, thank you so much. And help us to continue to figure out how that can be a spiritual growth opportunity for you. Grow together in groups. If you're not part of a group, we have all kinds of groups. You can head outside to our connections area and we can tell you all about it, how to get plugged into something like that. Being involved in groups has been transformative for me. What would the next step look like for you? And then last, give financially to God as an act of worship. What does that look like? And if you want some help with that, you want to talk about that a little bit, you want to meet with me or someone else, or maybe a wise Christian in your life that can help you think that through. Because you also might be at a point where it's like, hey, financially, I'm not sure how to do this. Let's talk all that stuff through because there's great opportunities. And I'll close by saying this. If you're new with us, right after our 11 o'clock service today, we're having our Journey Culture class. This is a class, if you've been here one day, or if you've been here years and you're like, I just wanna know more about what this church does and why we do it. We often get people who have been here for church years, they're like, I need a refresher. We would love to have you be part of that. Both of our campuses, it'll be right after our 11 o'clock service. So let's close our service. We're going to celebrate communion together, and we're going to sing together. This communion time will be an opportunity for us to express our gratitude to God together, and we'll start by doing a little spiritual weeding to prepare ourselves as we go into this. So let me pray, and then I'm going to hand it over to our Torrance campus where they'll be doing communion over there. Gracious God, thank you so much for your love and grace in our lives. Thank you for the opportunity we have to grow together. In Jesus' name, amen.